This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander here at Circa Resort Casino. Kelly on vacation. Kelly in Nashville. Get ready, Nashville. The Kelly Billen experience is happening. We get tweets. Let me try to sift through some of these have a catch, play catch tweets to get to ours. Dirty Water 619 just grabbed Ega at 8-1. Thanks, fam. I like when people call other people fam. Yeah, you got it, fam. No problem. This is from James Fraction in Maryland. Hey, Gil, two things. One, did I hear Chrissy Andrews is back? Is this just a cameo, or can Guessing Lines once again feature Mr. Andrews this NFL season? And two, please ask Fezzik his thoughts about the impact of overseas travel on the Rams and Seahawks for potential week two bets. Thanks. James, I don't know if you heard my long dissertation on the Rams Niners travel history and the history of international games travel, teams going early versus teams late. Did a whole thing on it. I'll retweet that, but I'll ask Fezzik as well. A little later on here. This is from, let me try to again, sifting, Martin Bernstein. Wow, Peter Fornatel Jr. on the show. I used to listen to his father spinning records on WNEW 102.7. He says, Cubs Rays World Series. Wow. And then Carnarsie Bourne said, sorry, Gil, where I grew up, nobody said play catch. It was always have a catch. Oh, stop it. Don't get me involved in this. Don't get me involved. All right, we'll get to more. But ladies and gentlemen, he's making his triumphant return to the network, at least for this hour. It's my mishpucha, Chrissy Andrews, the director of the South Point Sportsbook at the South Point Hotel Casino. Chrissy, my mishpucha, how are you, sir?
I'm great. It's great. I'm glad you invited me to come on the show.
Yes.
And here I am, and it's a pleasure to be back.
The people love you, even this morning, but it's other mornings too. We always get questions about, hey, are you going to do guessing lines again, that kind of thing. You're busy doing your thing. You're busy writing books, which is why you are primarily here today.
Right.
What is it? Let's talk about this before we get to this book. What is the author history that you have now?
Well, I actually have four books.
Yeah.
Then One Day was the first, which started when you and I used to do, we started on a podcast and we had story time. People encouraged me to write these things down, including Tim Lawson.
Uh-huh.
We'll get to him a little bit later.
That's right.
So I did it, and I still get a check every quarter. it's sold really well.
Such a great, so
yeah,
fun.
I mean, some of the checks are $80, but some of them are
it's a bill.
It pays for dinner one
night. That's right.
But some of them are well into the hundreds and even a thousand, something like that. But I mean, I've been selling for came out in 2019. Matter of fact, I sold two in the last week personally, so I don't know what they sold at Huntington or on Amazon. Anyway, that was the first one. And then One Year, which was, Anthony Curtis was my publisher, Huntington Press. He said, we did so well on the first book. Well, we need a follow-up. I said, well, I don't want to do the same thing. How about a year in the life of a bookmaker? Oh, that sounds fantastic. What year do I pick? The year of COVID.
Which turned out to be... I must say, I know it wasn't what you intended.
Yeah.
And it's not near, it's not the hilarity of the first book.
Oh, it's not the hilarity,
it's
no.
It's not the hilarity at all. But I'm so glad that you, in essence, kept a journal of that.
Yeah.
Because that whole book, Then One Year, I remember reading that a few years after the fact and just being like, oh my God, I forgot that happened.
Oh, I review it every now and then just to refresh my memory. And I think I told you the other day, I think it was Texas State was playing their 10th game of the season, and that week Utah was playing their first game of the season.
Even that detail, I guarantee 98% of people don't remember that.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, at least 98%. So this was like halfway through, when COVID was, in its midst. It was like July, 1st of July or something like that. I sent my work to Anthony Curtis. I said, should I keep doing this? Fortunately, Anthony loves my writing. God bless. He says, I love your writing. Keep doing what you're doing. In the end, we'll figure it all out. So we had about 180,000 words, which is,
wow.
I mean, that's like Lord of the Rings, something like that. He says, we got to cut it down to 90,000 words. Because 89,999 is what I want. So me and his editor, Deke Castleman, we just worked on it. Let's eliminate this, eliminate that. And so we cut it down. I think Anthony let us get away with 90,028 words.
He allowed.
But it came out.
Yeah.
But you know, it's one of those deals where I know, like Vic Salerno, Roxy Roxborough, a lot of other people in our business, in the, you know, that know what it's like to be in the trenches. They love the book. They think it's great. You know, they think it's terrific just going through.
I think it's great just from a standpoint of a time capsule. It's a harder, like the first book, you could just fly through.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's so funny.
This one, you have to kind of read in order.
You also, it's a harder read because it's also like really sobering to read back. And you're like, man, we all lived through this.
Yeah, we had the election that year.
And yeah.
If you remember, we went to bed that night thinking Donald Trump was going to be the new president. And counted the votes, and in the morning it was Joe Biden was president.
Yeah.
There was, and I wrote it all. I try not to be political in any of it, but I wrote it from a betting standpoint. You know, people were betting on Trump overnight. You know, and then in the morning, they found out that wasn't such a good bet.
That was a fascinating betting cap.
Because
the folks who were pounding Trump in the election voting.
Yeah.
It was almost a muscle memory of 2016, where if you recall, it was Florida that was all the way. What do you mean he won Florida? What's going on here?
Yeah,
and so they thought that was happening again, and it wasn't.
It wasn't. And but there's a lot of other stuff in there. But I will say this: when I wrote it, it really was kind of like a stream of consciousness. I didn't go back and change anything, you know. And I wanted to do it that way. Matter of fact, that was the year that Brady signed with Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what a foolish move that is for Tampa Bay to sign. But by the end,
you left it in there.
Yeah. I left it. I mean, listen, that was my thought. And I do that in all my books. I don't go back and change. I've changed the wordings, re-edit on that, but I don't change my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I thought signing Brady was crazy. You know, meanwhile, by the end, I bet him to be the MVP of the Super Bowl. You know, which I won that. You know, so yeah, but I thought that was important to do things like the way I felt in real time. You know, and like I said, a lot of people like that book that are in the business. Outside of the business, you know, it didn't really have the broad appeal of the first book.
Real. Sort of inside writing question, which I'm not sure how is interesting to others, but it is to me. When you write that many words on anything, what is your process? Do you like allot a certain amount of time every day, or do you just binge write one day and then not go back to it 7 days later?
No, I had to keep my discipline of writing every day, but I didn't say, well, I have to write 500 words. I have to write 1,000 words, or some days might have been 2,000 words, 3,000 words. You know, whatever it was, whatever dictated for the day to get my thoughts down, you know, I did it. You know,
you but must I enjoy writing. Writing is hard.
I do like writing.
Yeah.
I like writing. It, you know, I mean, whatever it is, there's, you know, different things appeal to different people, you know, but I enjoy writing. I enjoy the whole process. It's something that's kind of cathartic to me.
So that's then one day followed by then one year, and then you wrote a novel.
I did write a novel. Avel Fosmu, which I probably mistitled it because people didn't get it, but in parentheses, my brother. So if you go on Amazon, just look for my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, of all the things I've written, I'm most proud of that. I think it's a terrific book. It didn't get...
Absolutely. You mistitled it. Like the Pina Colada song, that kind of thing, where it should have been called that instead of Escape or whatever it is.
I mistitled it. As a matter of fact, I'm thinking about... My wife says you should retitle it. You know, reissue it under a different title.
Yeah.
In the end, we've kind of kicked around what we should do, and I was thinking, Uncommitted Sins.
Hmm.
You've read the book.
I read the book.
It's the uncommitted sins that got him into trouble.
I'm not blowing smoke here. I don't read fiction as an adult. I don't know. My brain doesn't do it, but I know it was you, and I was like, it's my mishpucha writing. I'm going to read it. It was great. It was fantastic. Yeah. I really liked it.
Everybody who's read it thinks it's fantastic.
Yeah.
I can tell you that. And like I said, I'm most proud of that work than I am of anything else.
Would you write another novel?
I started one, and then, you know, probably like a third of the way through it. It's one of those things like I know what's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen. But I'm about a third of the way through it, and, you know, probably after football, I might get to it again and write a little bit more.
Oh, that's interesting that you, as you're writing it, you almost can't wait to see what happens also.
Well, I would say this, that I've not that I took classes, but I read some things about, you know, from writers on their process. And the characters, if you're a good writer, and I like to think I'm pretty good, you know, characters will take on a life of their own.
Yes.
You know, as you're writing it, you think, boy, he wouldn't do that. And you see that all the time in movies. You know, they'll say, hey, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, I kind of would say the same thing. You know, characters kind of take on a life. They went on a path like that I didn't really intend. And the other thing in that book, my novel, there's a lot of stuff like at the end I says, oh, you know, I didn't even realize that. You know, and like some, really like some karma stuff, you know, and I don't want to blow it. You know,
it's not spoil a book or spoil a book or anything.
Yeah. But there's some stuff like, oh, that makes sense on how that happened. And I didn't even realize it when I was writing it.
And what is the best way to get all these books, by the way?
Well, those ones that I just mentioned on Amazon.
Amazon.
The best way.
All right.
Although I will say this, Tim Lawson, A Better Life. I just sent him those. Not the novel, although I might send them the novel as well. I'm thinking about it. Got to talk to them. But we're going to sell these three books, including this one.
Then One Life.
Then One Life as a package, so you can get all three.
Then One Day, Then One Year, Then One Life.
Yeah.
And we'll get into Then One Life, your latest book here after the break. But the inspiration for the title came from producer number 7 of this show, right?
Number 7? I've lost track 7. Of how many producers there are, but yeah.
We're at 10 now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Jason Kahn.
Yeah.
Because when you would do story time on the podcast, it would always, not always, but a lot of times it would be like, then one day.
No, it was always. Then one day.
Yeah, and
it was kind of like.
And it was his suggestion to do that. Yeah, great. Yeah. Jason Kahn, that's your legacy, buddy.
It's worked out well.
We'll talk about that one day. Get Chrissy's thoughts on some sports betting stuff, too. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network with Chrissy Andrews.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Unmatched transparency with records updated daily. AI betting analysis, it's the sharp plays. We invite you to check them out. Real-time global betting info. Alerts directly from the pros. Scan the QR code on your screen for more. Sharpplays.com. Gil Alexander with Chrissy Andrews in studio. The band is back together again. Triumphant return to the network. We get tweets of beating the book. Most of these are on you. Dalgo, I was on Cincinnati radio or YouTube channel, The Crown, this morning. So he says, seeing Gil with James Rabian on The Crown was a blending of two worlds I didn't expect. Good blank, he says. Thank you. Thank you to them for having me on to talk Cincinnati Open. This is from, Jay Green. Gil, you got to guess a line. Any line doesn't matter, but we need to know. If Chrissy likes your number better, let's go. Thank you, Jay Green. That's a throwback to the old guessing lines days. Bushyhead, welcome back, Chris. Does Chrissy have any thoughts on the horse racing scandal? Are you familiar with this?
Yeah.
So we had Peter Fornital on earlier.
I know. I missed Peter because I actually got to get in touch with Peter because in this book, I have a whole chapter on horse racing, on my thoughts about horse racing.
Oh.
Some good and bad, you know.
Where does this scandal rank in the pantheon of horse racing scandals?
Well, I think we're still kind of going through it.
We are.
You know, I mean, it came out yesterday that they gave him some illegal drugs, but it was a month before the race.
Oh.
So I don't know how, I don't know the physiology of how that works. You know, right. I don't know. But there's something going on. I know that. So, but I think before we start making, you know, concrete accusations, I think there's still a lot of investigation that needs to be done.
Chris Heath, one of my favorite Then One Day stories is the huge pick 5 ticket at Bay Meadows where Chrissy's
father.
Well,
it was pick 6.
Pick 6 where Chrissy's father-in-law gets in on the action.
Yeah,
that's the one where is it Pam who was cheering and you're like, oh no,
no, it was my first wife.
Oh, your first wife. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I apologize. Let's see. Pardon me. Money Gun Guz, This brings back so much nostalgia and great memories from the Monday football lines. How does Chris feel about his Steelers this year? Great show.
Well, they sure looked good last night, but I'm on with a bunch of guys, you know, from Pittsburgh. There's like 20 of us.
Yeah.
Those boys. You know, and I'm a Penn State fan, so I thought Aller was fantastic. He looked terrific. I don't want to jump on, you know, knocking James Franklin, but I don't think he ever really developed quarterbacks. He had Christian Hackenberg, too, if you remember.
Who could forget?
Well, okay, but coming out of high school, he was like the number one quarterback, and he never developed. And you know, they said the same thing about Aller. He just never developed under Franklin. Well, maybe he's developing under, listen, McCarthy, we could knock him on, but, you know, he's had some great quarterback play under his tutelage, and maybe he found, I heard some guys, I'm not a scout or anything, I said Aller's footwork was bad, but now it looks like it's much improved. That might be something that he's worked on. But he looks great. I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic. How's that sound?
You can't get away from a bookmaking question though, Bobby. Yeah. Bobby Ricigliano, and thank you for the question, Bobby. First row mess. Can you ask Mr. Anders? You're Mr. Anders, by the way.
Yeah.
About the 2.5. Got knocked off my screen just there. Can you ask Mr. Anders about the 2.5 and 3.5 point line for the NFL years ago at South Point? To clarify that, if the line opens at +2.5 and stays all week, you take the dog. If the line opens and stays all week at -3.5, you take the favorite. Thank you both.
Yeah, no, that's a great question, and that's something I get all the time. Listen, obviously, if a game's sitting at 2.5, if you can get 3, go get the 3. Mm-hmm. You know, but the thing is, if the sharp money was on the favorite, that money, it'd be 3 everywhere. But it's not. So whenever you see a 3, you know, the wise guys take it, or maybe they're betting the money line or something like that. So the right side, and, you know, the right side loses all the time, but, you know, probably, you know, 58% of the time, the right side would be the dog in that situation. Conversely, if a number is sitting at 3.5 all week and never goes to 3, and once again, of course, you want to lay 3 if you have the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
That, and sometimes you'll see a game that's like 3.5. The money line might be like $1.90 or something like that. That's a strong 3.5. That means that the favorite's the right side, you know, according to the sharp money. And again, probably, you know, you're going to lose 40, 42% of the time playing that. But the right side is probably the favorite in that situation.
Very interesting. I love some of your old, some of the old tenets that you've learned through the decades that we wouldn't necessarily know instinctively.
Well, I was on something, you know, this is about a month ago, and guys were asking about, like, a lot of new guys in the, you know, that we saw in Bet Bash, you know. Well, you weren't there.
I wasn't there.
Anyway, I said, a lot of these young kids, their IQ is certainly much, much higher than mine, you know.
Yeah.
But they don't have the wisdom that I have from experience.
From experience.
You know, from experience. Yeah. You know, just being around this business a long time.
By the way, I call you my mishpocha. You're the sportsbook director of the South Point. I bury the headline. You are in the sports gambling. Make a distinction. This is the sports betting Hall of Fame here.
No, I'm in the sports betting Hall. This is the sports gambling.
Oh, right. You're in the sports betting Hall of Fame.
Right.
And so Spanky had to name his the sports gambling Hall of Fame. Correct.
Right.
So you're a Hall of Famer, for God's sakes. I should have introduced you like Joe Buck introduces Troy Aikman with the Hall of Famer, Chris Anders.
Yeah.
All right. Then One Life is the third book. This is the new book.
Yeah.
I immediately read the last chapter first.
Okay.
That was a VEASAN chapter.
Yeah, that's a chapter on VEASAN. I told the truth.
How do you encapsulate One Life into one book?
It's hard, you know, and I followed Anthony's, I kept this under 90,000 words. I could have had 9 million words, you know, but I kept it under 90,000. Really, the inspiration for the book, what started me on this path, was my wife had that brain tumor. And I think it's the third chapter in the book, Pamela, my wife. And while, I mean, you have to kind of read it, but it's hard for me to read it. It's very touching, you know, what we went through. And that was really...
You were telling me off air the other day when we were hanging out at the South Point. You were telling me that's like the one chapter you can't reread.
I can't reread it. And we were sending out an email because she had a lot of people asking me. So this is like, you know, 3-4 months of me sending out an email every night. And fortunately, her cousin kept all the emails. So I had to reread those to write the chapter. And it's hard for me to get through them because what happened to her was devastating, you know. And I told you my writing process, the way I write something is, you know, even in my head, I know it's just a draft, and then go back and add adjectives and similes and whatever. But that one I couldn't do. And I knew it while I was writing it. I said, I just have to write this as best as I can the first time through, because I'm not going to be able to go through this thing again. And even now, I'll go to reread it, and I can't get through it. You know, it's just, it's hard for me. It's really difficult.
Both of you have been dealt tough cards in the health department.
We have. Yeah. And so that was probably the inspiration. And when I started it, I started thinking, I wonder if I could write a book on this. And I got to about 6,000 words in that chapter. And I said, you know, I can't make a book out of this. Now, do you know Mary Roach? Do you know who that is by any chance?
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, she's written some science books, but to guys like us who are not scientists, you know.
Right.
You know, but I mean, and I've read two or three of her books. They're really good. If this was her writing this book, she could get 300 pages out of it, going through the history of, you know, how you operate on brain tumors and et cetera. By the way, she had, I don't know if I mentioned it, it was a brain tumor that she had, and it was not cancerous. And as soon as I found out it wasn't cancerous, I said, oh, but this is going to be a walk in the park. No, there's a lot of other variables that I kind of go through, and it seemed like everyone for her was bad, you know. But anyway,
just to let everybody know, she's doing great now.
She's doing well. Yeah. I mean, she lives her full life, you know, and there are certain things that she has to deal with, you know, that she never fully recovered.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when she went in, she was the retail manager of Moana Nursery, and anybody knows in Reno, that's the biggest nursery in Reno. I mean, she was an executive, you know, and then, you know, she just, you know, she couldn't do that anymore, you know, and even now there's some things like she can't drive at night and some things like that. And there's issues that have lingered, but overall she's doing well. So that was the inspiration that got me going. Then, of course, I had my episode of, you know, I mean. And
hey, man, you were kind of touch and go there for a while.
Oh, man. There's a picture of me in the book, and you can see, oh, man, he don't look so good, you know.
Well, I also remember, I mean, not to be like, you know, too serious about things, but yeah, I remember you even saying to me at some point, like, Gil, if you can guarantee me 10 more years right now, I'd take it.
Oh, my God, yeah, oh. And they gave me 2017. They gave me 2 years to live, and by 2019, that was 2 years later. I mean, I always say I was in my last couple of months. Pam says you were in your last couple of weeks. You weren't going to make it any further. And I had the bone marrow transplant.
You were green, man.
I was, you know, in bad shape. And now some people tell me about it now. They don't want to tell me about it when you're going through it. But I've seen some guys with cancer, which, you know. And by the way, my MDS, the thing I had. If you go look it up, some people define it as cancer and some people don't. But I asked my doctors at USC, and I talk about them, God bless them. They said, well, I don't know about anybody else, but we treat it as cancer. You know, that's, and by the way, USC at this point, this is even before I was, after 2 years, you're considered cured. You know, even before I was part of the statistics, they are now the number one bone marrow transplant success rate in America, which and maybe the world, you know. So I was very lucky to fall into their hands.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a painful thing also. Oh. Like, I just remember you go there.
Those first couple of weeks. And I don't know how much.
We'll come back.
More things.
Yeah, there's much more in this book than just that stuff, though.
You're right, exactly.
Then 1 year, which again does end with a VEASAN chapter. Chrissy Andrews, the Hall of Famer, on a numbers game right here at VEASAN.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Oh, yeah, it's that time. Our 2026 VSiN Pro Football Futures Draft. Look at that crew right there. 13 VSiN hosts. This is our second annual Pro Football Futures Draft, by the way. 13 VSiN hosts and guests face off in a fantasy football-style snake draft hosted by the great Dustin Sweetelson. He's a great moderator for this. And every pick doubles as a handicapping breakdown you can use. Win totals, division winners, player props, stat leaders. Last year's competitors all back for round two, joined by three newcomers stepping into the Futures draft room for the first time. Listen to this. Former wide receiver Keyshawn Johnson joining the Futures draft. Comedian and sports commentator Nick Bakay. It's my guy. And the guru John Hansen for prop points. Don't just watch the Futures draft. Profit from it. Tune in Thursday, August 20th. So a week from this Thursday, August 20th, 5 p.m. Eastern, only on VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network. Gil Alexander. With Chris Andrews,
love to interrupt you, but I love Nick Bakay.
Oh, he's the greatest.
I love Nick Bakay.
He's the guy. I was telling you, he invited me to go see one of his shoots for Bookie, which was his show on, was it HBO or Showtime?
I think it was HBO.
HBO, yeah. And like, oh, that's, oh, thank you so much. Where is it? Oh, it's in LA. Oh, great. What time? 3 a.m. Really? Where? The worst part of LA possible. I'm like, oh, I'm good. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. But he's the best. Absolute best. Has such a great, I was asking him to tell his OJ story in a golf parking lot.
Right.
So funny. Pardon me. This is Dave Hormel. Dave Hormel on Twitter. Three words that describe Chris Andrews: simply the best. Yeah. Oh,
thank you.
There it is. Nice. Gamblord, nice hearing you, Chrissy, with Gil again. Did you say there was a way to buy all your books together?
Yes, I sent them all to Tim Lawson. His website is the Better BETTOR, the Better Life, and I haven't heard. I just sent them. What's today? Friday? I sent him on Monday.
Yeah.
So I haven't heard. I hope he's got them already. I haven't heard. By the way, but as soon as he has it, he'll have it.
We love Tim Lawson.
Oh, he's great.
Tim Lawson cares so lovingly, so deeply about all that we have done, all that you've done, and the fact that he is willing to sell them on his site, it's such a great thing. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I really.
Megapod historian, by the way.
Yeah,
Tim
right.
Lawson.
Yeah.
Sam Ginsberg.
Oh, yeah.
So great,
Pittsburgh boy.
So great to hear you and Chris. Greetings from Pittsburgh. And remember, once again, Mike Tomlin will not have a losing season. okay, you were talking about sobering stuff of obviously health issues, but give us some funny tales.
Okay, yeah, I just want to make it, because there is, listen, my story, my wife's story, my son passed away a year and a half ago. I include that in the book. I have another, I didn't know whether to include this, but guys encouraged me to. When my dog died right in front from a broken neck, And when my one friend, Barry, I don't know if you know Barry Phillips, you might be listening. That made me cry listening to that. But anyway, watch or reading that. But it's not all doom and gloom. There's a lot of funny stories in there. Matter of fact, the same guy, Barry, told me the funniest story in there. And it's a very short story. We had this good friend, and we were living in Reno, Flash Astrin. And Flash is a character. Anyway, my routine for a lot of years during football season, I'd put the numbers up, Monday morning, and I'd go see John Falensky, one of my dear, dear friends, ran John Asquaga's Nugget, and we'd go, and kind of like the joke in the book is we either sat there, had coffee, and bragged about how smart we were or complained about how unlucky we were over the weekend. This was one of those unlucky ones, so we're sitting there, and we got murdered this weekend, and I remember, so Johnny's sitting there, and I could see him, he's going through like the bet report, all the bets, and he's going through. And I see his eyes go like widen, like, John, what's up? He goes, okay, let me, I skipped the lead here. There's one game that was a tie, and the number was right around pick all week. And one side would be favored. And John, like a lot of us, we move off a pick quickly. Because what's the chance of a tie? Anyway, one side, one the other side. So there's essentially no losing tickets. And the wise guys either took plus one on one side or plus one on the other side, and the game comes tied. So John's going through, and I see him go like, what the? I said, what is it, Johnny? He goes, somebody bought half a point off of Pick'em for 50 bucks, 60 to win 50. I said, come on, get it. He shows me, he goes, look, here it is. I swear to God, this is the truth. If this was on TV, you'd say this is the phoniest thing I've ever seen, except I happen to be right there. Our friend Flash.
Flash Astrin.
Flash Astrin comes in, got the ticket, and waves it just as Johnny's doing it.
Waves
and he goes,
it like
wee!
Not to be confused with the Tony Salinas whiskey.
No,
different story.
I couldn't put that in the book either, by the way.
Yeah.
But wee! And I mean, Johnny's turning red. He's so pissed. And the madder he gets, the more I'm laughing, But I mean, like I said, if you knew Flash, what a character he is. Just a nut, loved to play poker, loved to bet, loved to run around with women. I mean, the whole thing, And John, and when Flash leaves, John's just seething. He looks at me, can you believe a 35-year-old man says we? And now I say it as often as I can. I love saying it.
What a maneuver by him to buy the half point, as it turns out.
Bought half a point off a pick. I mean, the only time it's value is if you know the game is coming tied.
Great moments in gambling history.
Oh my God. And that's one of the funny ones. But there's a lot of little funny stories in there that I ran into Nick Bogdanovich last week.
This is essential. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, and Nick, he read the book. He says, oh, my God, I forgot about that one story. And there's one little passage, me, Nick, and the dead guy.
Oh, I remember that.
You remember
story.
That? Yeah, this is the old D, before it was the D, was Fitzgerald's. And Nick and I would, during our lunch break, we'd walk around town and check the numbers and maybe make a bet or two. And we were in Fitzgerald's. They had a Leroy's there. And, we made a couple bets. And, let's go hit the bathroom before we head back to the Golden Nugget. We were working at Golden Nugget. we walk into the bathroom. There's like a group of guys looking in the stall, like, what the hell's going on here? And, one guy looks at us. He goes, I think the guy's dead on the toilet. You look through the crack. And we kind of jimmy the door open. He's dead.
He's dead.
Yeah. You want to give him mouth-to-mouth? I do not. But feel free if you would like to. I'm not giving him mouth-to-mouth. He dead, And anyway, Nick read the way. He goes, I'd forgotten all about that story.
By the way, these are not, I know somebody who works at a strip casino. He told me a story just yesterday about, had to do with a bathroom stall and a person in there who they thought was, and this is just modern day. At the Wynn specifically, this was. Yeah, so I mean, it's.
Oh, yeah, those things happen, yeah.
Yeah. Bama Slugger, so glad to see you on with Gil today. I am watching the replay now. And Auburnus, this interview turned into a lesson about the writing process, and I really appreciate it. I'm fascinated in stuff like that. So this essentially, Then One Life, is essentially your memoir in the end, would you call it? Or is that...
I think that's fairly accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a memoir in some senses. There's a lot of good stories, a lot of funny stories, a lot of things that, just stuff that happened. I go through a lot of memorable Super Bowls, some good, some not so good, And...
What was the worst?
Oh, the worst, without a doubt, is when the Rams beat the Titans.
1 yard away.
1 yard
from
away.
Tying it up.
That was, and I go in and I talk about it in there. And I think there was probably right around then, I was probably the highest paid sportsbook director in Nevada. But it was
you
all,
were at Cal Neva at the time?
I was at Cal Neva. I mean, but I owned a piece of the company. I constructed my personal deal, take a fairly small salary. But to have it all on the back end, if I won, and we won a lot of money back then, but you could also lose a lot of money too. Mm-hmm. And we got murdered that Super Bowl. I opened the Rams in the future book at 300-1. Even with Trent Green, pretty good quarterback, but they had, they were terrible the year before. If you remember, I think they won 4 games the year before. And then Trent Green gets hurt.
Yes, he does.
They bring in this guy who was stalking.
Shelves
2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Got cut numerous times. He came from the Iowa Barnstormers or something like that.
Kurt Warner. Who's this
Kurt
guy?
And then Dick Vermeil, who, a great coach and from all indications, a great guy, but always sees the world through rose-colored glasses. We'll play good football, and we're going to be – I mean, Dick Vermeil's out of his mind. I went back to 300-1 with him. And after week one
– that's when people came in.
Yeah, they came in. So this is week one. I saw Kurt Warner, and I think it was – it's in the book, but I can't – I think it was the Ravens, great defensive team for many years. He lit them up. And right away I'm thinking, man, I am in big trouble here with this bet because, I mean, we had futures like this on the Rams.
So that's all it took was the one game, and people just started betting it.
Yeah, but all through. I mean, they were on the Rams all the time. I mean, it was a miracle I even got through the season. Now we get to the Super Bowl.
Ugh.
And, I got this much in futures. I just couldn't get off. And, at South Point, we famously don't juice numbers.
Right.
I didn't juice
numbers. Explain that. But Michael Gaughan from the top says don't move.
Don't move the juice. Everything's at 11 to 10. Mm-hmm. Everything's at 11 to 10. Just if you have to move the number, move the number. And he tells me, don't sit on the number just because you're afraid of getting middled or sided or whatever. Move the number. Well, I always had that same philosophy, even at Cal Neva. Now, if you remember that game was between 6 and F7. 6 and F7. The Rams are favorite. So I don't know if you ever
hold that thought.
Okay.
Rams end up winning that Super Bowl, for those who don't remember, by 7, as the Titans came up 1 yard shy of potentially tying it and pushing it into overtime. More with Chrissy Andrews right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
A Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Not just any numbers game, the triumphant return of the Hall of Famer, Chrissy Andrews, South Point Sportsbook Director. Just beloved by everyone. Chance Copperpot, great to see Chrissy back on ANG for Throwback Fridays. Come on again, please. Teddy Rack, it's great to see Chrissy on VSiN again with Gil. We're all thrilled to have you. The name of the book is Then One Life. You can throw it up as a prop there for people who want to say visual. I'll get your camera there. There you go. You're actually on the cover. So, you know, anybody who's on the fence,
how could you not want to buy
a picture
that?
Of you.
Jeez, you're getting a picture of me.
That'll put you over the top.
Yeah.
The easiest way for people to get it is to what? Go to your Twitter or to go somewhere else?
Well, the easiest way is probably to go to A Better Life with BTTR, with Tim Lawson.
Yeah.
If you want to get it to me directly, and the price is going to be about the same, you can... God knows I can't set up a website, but you know I could do Venmo, and I could barely do that. Chris-Andrews-247, and send me $25 for the book and for postage and handling, and I'll get it in the mail the next day.
When you were going through it, finish your Rams title.
Oh, so the Rams thing. So anyway, we're between 6.5-7, 6.5-7 all week. And I remember my old girlfriend telling her, I says, well, you know, we need the Titans. But I'm telling you, if this game comes 7, we lose she knew kind of close.
The futures, the game, everything.
She knew kind of close of how much I was going to lose. I didn't give her the exact figure, but she had a ballpark, you know. So
can you give us a ballpark? Are we talking?
No.
No.
So I'll put it this way.
That would be a no.
Let me say, for me, it was a fortune.
I felt compelled to ask.
Billy Walters would cut cards for you for that same amount without batting an eyelash. Let me just put it that way.
Okay.
Anyway, I remember the game well. Titans tie it up. 18 seconds later, Kurt Warner throws the touchdown pass. I think it was to Torrey Holt.
Yeah.
They go up by 7 with like a minute to play. And I always said, back then we didn't have call waiting, you know, or we didn't have caller ID. Phone rings. I know it's her ring. I pick up the phone and she just screams into the phone. I says, yeah, I know. Hang up. And anyway, so we were going on.
It sounds like a loving relationship.
We had our ups and downs. Yeah. We're not no longer together. Let's put it that way. So we were going through, just without any specific plans, going through Northern California. You know, just getting in the car and going. And like I always say, I'm a typical guy. I did all the driving. But she was waiting for me. You want to drive? Nope. You know, I get in the car. Want to listen to anything? I said, put on Abbey Road. And I just put my head against the window, close my eyes. And the sixth song is, we talked about the Beatles.
Yeah.
I Want You, She's So Heavy, that long jam of the Beatles, very atypical of the Beatles. But I love that song. You're very bluesy with a little bit of jazz and kind of heavy guitars. And after that song, I picked my head up. I says, I really love that song. She goes, oh, my God.
Wow.
I thought you weren't going to talk for the next 2 weeks. I said, nah. I says, what can I tell you? I mean, it's only money. What am I going to do? I'm trying to make it back. What else? What do you want me to do?
There you go. You snapped out of it. Courtesy of Lennon and McCartney.
Yeah, it took me half an hour or so to get out of it. But, listen, and God knows if you read this book, there's a lot worse things than losing money. Yeah.
Was there a chapter that you wrote? By the way, give us some of the names of the chapters. There's Pamela, where you're talking about your wife. VSiN is the very succinctly titled final chapter.
Yeah. Here, let me just run through it. Well, first of all, the introduction, and I know you, or the foreword. You wrote a great foreword for Then One Day. And
can I tell you something? An honor of a lifetime to be able to.
Well, my daughter wrote this foreword.
Oh, very nice.
And it's beautiful. I mean,
I
can't thank her enough. Anyway, here's the chapters. Jimmy Vaccaro, number one, batting leadoff.
How's Jimmy doing?
He's doing okay. Doing okay.
Okay.
Second, Big Nick George is another guy I grew up with.
Oh, wow.
Then Pamela. Then my son, Joseph Zachary Andrews. Then Cal Neva, Pittsburgh, horse racing. Natal would like that one. Opening the NCAA tournament numbers,
which
we used to do it. Our first customer was Derek Stevens.
Remember, Derek would bet all the games?
He was betting every game, 10 dimes a rattle. The only bad part.
10 dimes a rattle.
Yeah, Derek bet a lot of dogs. He's a pretty sharp guy. And by the time they tipped off, we needed Derek to win like pretty much every bet.
Yeah.
He didn't do so well that year.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's recovered.
He's doing okay.
I think he's doing okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, that, and then Against the Number, that was my own company I had for a little while.
I remember that, yeah.
And Frank Todi, who's been Michael's partner for a long time. And a lot of people don't know Frank.
Michael Gaughan's
longtime partner.
Yeah.
But I wrote a chapter on Frank. And it's one of those, I know Frank would not want me to write that chapter. That's why I didn't ask him. Again, easier to ask.
Do it, ask later.
Ask forgiveness and not permission.
Yeah.
And then Jackie Gaughan. Then the dog thing, Lulu. That's my dog that died in my arms, essentially. Kevin White. You remember that story?
Oh, what was that story? Yes.
A guy that went crazy on the radio, and he started off, he was in the mafia, then he was a Texas Ranger, he was a Sikh warrior.
Wow.
That's it. And
that's right. Okay.
That's a great chapter. Too much to talk about here. The next is MDS. That's story of my thing. And then one, characters, just, you know, I think the Flash is in that one. Then Reno, Roxy. By the way, there's some Roxy stories, and I made sure to run them by Roxy first because they're, let's just say, they're not very complimentary to either one of us, to either me or Roxy.
Hey, there's an insight exchange I had with you once. I don't know if you remember this in the back office. Hey, Chrissy, why did Roxy move to Thailand? That was old.
Yeah.
That's right.
But there's, I mean, when I signed my first book to Roxy, my dear friend, where would we be without each other? Probably out drinking and gambling somewhere.
Yeah.
Because that's the life me and Roxy had. Then Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
And another chapter, very near dear to my heart, Uncle Nicky, my Uncle Jack's brother.
Yeah.
And that's another story. And that's semi-tragic, but also pretty funny, too. He was a character. Then Brushes with Greatness, including seeing Jack Nicholson and having a little exchange.
Oh, okay.
A little exchange. Then William Hill Football.
Hmm.
Then Hall of Fame. I just, you know,
yeah.
You know, just, I had a couple, my Hall of Fame introduction of my Uncle Jack, and then my own speech that I did there, and my licensing. And I ran that one by Richard Schutz. I says, am I going to get in trouble writing this?
What do you mean my licensing?
When I got my gaming license.
Oh, okay.
I got my gaming license. A little bit hairy, I tell you right now.
You mean back in the day when you
back
first
in
got
the
it?
Day.
Okay.
Yeah, back in the day. So I ran it by Richard. I said, Richard, this is all. He goes, well, you told the truth. He says, what can they do to you at this point?
Yeah.
So I ran that by Richard. Then PAPSA, all the stuff about
PASPA, yeah.
How it's changed the industry and all that. Then the last chapter is VSIN.
So care to say anything about the VSIN chapter succinctly in a sentence or two?
The only thing I would say is I wrote the truth.
You did.
You know.
You did.
And some of it's complimentary. Some of it is maybe not, but I think it depends on your frame of reference.
Your perspective.
Yeah, your perspective. I think people might see it different ways, but I wrote the truth.
I know you're doing great over there because I was there Wednesday in the middle of the day at the beginning of August over there at the South Point, and it is just banging over there.
Yeah.
Humanity. I was like, what is going on in here? And if you find yourself at the South Point there on a Friday night, let's say, you can barely walk through the middle casino floor.
There's times I could barely walk. We have the Tuesday morning meeting at 10 o'clock, you know, and I've got to, like, negotiate like I'm driving through traffic just to get back to the executive offices, you know. I mean, that's all. But, you know.
That parking, no parking spaces available.
Yeah, I see. Yeah. Listen, you know, I'm sure certain places have been very successful in their own right. I would say this about most of these, like, publicly traded companies. Most of the guys around them, they're looking for the next quarter, you know, get their bonus for the next quarter. Michael Gaughan's been doing this for 50 years. He's not worried about the next quarter.
Yeah, he's not.
He's worried about, you know, I mean, first of all, he's 83, I think, something like that. He's been doing this a long time. It's not about the next quarter. It's we're grinding all the time. And if we have a bad week, we have a bad week. Another funny story, real quick. He graduated from Creighton. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So Creighton was playing San Diego State a couple years ago to go to the Final Four. He calls me, hey, who do we need in the Creighton game? I says, well, we need San Diego State for 15,000. Geez, I really wanted to root for Creighton. I says, Michael, for God's sake, will you just root for Creighton? I said, it's like, what, 20 minutes of slot drop? You'll be okay. Just root for your alma mater. Let me worry about San Diego State.
That's great. Yeah. Then One Life is the name of the book. And again, if you go to betterlife.com, better, B-E-T-T-O-R, Tim Lawson's site. You can get all three packaged together, then one day, then 1 year, then one life. The great Chris Andrews, who you can follow on Twitter. I don't know how active you are on Twitter these days.
No, I'm pretty active.
You're pretty active.
Yeah, I'm trying to sell books, of course.
Okay. At Andrews Sports. You staying out of trouble, though, on Twitter? Like our next guest doesn't?
I'm not in as much trouble as he gets himself into.
Are you guys going to be okay on the segue here?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just curious.
What's going to happen?
You tell me.
I don't think either one of us want to throw fisticuffs. You know?
We'll see what happens. At Andrews Sports, the great Chrissy Andrews, my mishpucha. I love you, man.
I love you too, pal. Chris great Andrews. Being back.
Great having you back. Right here on A Numbers Game. Fezzik is next. Fezzik Fridays on the other side, right here at VSiN.